welcome to another episode of Sit Still, Look Opinionated, the podcast. I'm your host, Claire Malky. Wow, what a couple of weeks this has been. Raise your hand if over the last 2 weeks you felt anxious, nauseous, overwhelmed, amazed, or exhilarated. I know you all can't see it, but both of my hands are in the air. So, obviously, there was some big news over the last 2 weeks. On Saturday, November 7th, the Associated Press declared Joe Biden the winner of the presidential race. And I gotta say, I was holding on to the edge of my seat. Even though we won't officially have a new president until January 20th, aka Inauguration Day, this is still some pretty stellar news. But we do know this is just the beginning. Once Biden and Harris take office, there will be so much work to do. Between police reform, global warming, the recession, the state of education, and obvi, the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, Biden and Harris won't be sitting still during the first 100 days. And we still don't know who has control of the Senate. Thanks, Georgia. Anyway, over here at the Sit Still Studio, we are so proud of all of you for using your voices to raise up democracy. And now, we're asking you to raise up your voice for your favorite podcast. Yes, that would be the one you're listening to. Sit Still, Look Opinionated. We would deeply appreciate a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. The reviews help boost our visibility. And who knows, leave a great review, and we might even read it on the show. We have a fantastic episode in store for you all today. Up first, we've got this week's top headlines. Then, our deep dive into Planned Parenthood. And we'll round out the show with my interview with West Virginia field organizers Emily Wammeldorf and Ixia Vega. This is a really good interview, you guys. You're going to really love it. 2 weeks ago, I needed shots of tequila to numb my nerves. And today, I'll take those shots in celebration. Grab your drink and let's get started. Up first, this week's headlines. Country, presidential votes went to Joe Biden, but down ballot, most votes swayed Republican. This is the equivalent to running a charity 5K and then devouring a chicken sandwich and peach milkshake from Chick-fil-A. The two don't cancel each other out. And yes, we know it is the epitome of unfairness that those freaking chicken sandwiches are so divine. And don't even get me started on Chick-fil-A sauce. Too bad most Americans are fine swallowing that guilt. I mean, Mitch McConnell won re-election. On Saturday night, America heard from VP-elect Kamala Harris saying, "While I may be the first woman in this office, I will not be the last." Annoyed by this, Republicans accused this quote of being unfair to men. This week, President Trump continued to refuse to accept defeat, and instead insisted on creating an entirely different reality for himself. This is what happens when you give out participation awards. The Trump campaign filed multiple lawsuits regarding the results of the election that have mostly been thrown out due to an astounding lack of evidence. Of course, Trump is notorious for providing as much evidence as he does foreplay. Sorry, Melania. The New York Times reported a devastating story showing definitive proof of voter fraud with over 1,500 illegally submitted votes for New Zealand's Bird of the Year. 1,500 electronic votes appeared mysteriously, thrusting the Kiwi Puku Puku ahead of the Antipodean Albatross. Turns out the voter fraud wasn't even for a red herring. When reached for a comment, a spokesperson for the Kiwi stated, "We appreciate how passionate our supporters are, but we adamantly condemn voter fraud." When asked how they felt about the results putting them out of the lead, the Kiwi replied, "It could be worse. This could be an American election." Earlier this week, Pfizer announced the successful trials of their coronavirus vaccine. Test subjects give it a resounding 3 thumbs up. Many have speculated what Donald Trump will choose to do after the presidency. My guess will be coloring, since there's so much downtime in prison. UPS announced this week that it is now allowing its employees to wear beards. Just another part of the aggressive liberal agenda. And that was this week's headlines. This week's episode of Sit Still, Look Opinionated is brought to you by Theater in the Dark, A War of the Worlds, a virtual audio drama. A link to tickets will be listed in the show notes.
No one would have believed.
You see this? What's happening in the suburbs?
In the first years of the 21st century.
Wi-Fi's not working.
That this world was being watched keenly and closely.
What's happening?
By intelligences greater than our own.
That's in Kankakee. We should drive out and see it.
Careful. Don't get too close.
Dr. Pearson, have there been fresh attempts to signal these beings?
This October.
It's something more than a meteorite.
Theater in the Dark presents...
It's a cylinder.
And it's opening.
A War of the Worlds. A virtual audio drama performed live every night over Zoom. Pay what you can tickets available now at theaterinthedark.com.
Up next, this week's deep dive. So, just a quick poll for you all. How many of you went to the doctor this year? Maybe you went to get your flu shot or your annual physical. Sounds like run-of-the-mill stuff, right? Right. Well, if you're a human with a vag, then you know you have an extra appointment to make. The funny thing is, this country doesn't believe healthcare is a right. And the trips to the gynecologist can be extremely pricey and basically inaccessible. Enter today's topic, Planned Parenthood. Unlike what some naysayers believe, it's not some scary torture chamber where you're forced to get an abortion upon arrival. It's actually not like that at all. From personal experience, Planned Parenthood literally looks like any other doctor's office. No jump scares, no dark, spooky hallways, and definitely no propaganda up on the walls. Okay, Claire, so then what is Planned Parenthood? Well, the name of the organization is telling. They are a nonprofit organization that provides reproductive healthcare to both women and men. And they are the largest single provider of reproductive healthcare services in the United States. Through affiliates, they operate over 600 clinics around the country. And if you're wondering where all the money comes from to run these programs, Planned Parenthood gets funding via private donations, as well as federal funding through the Title X family planning laws. Now, that all sounds nice and good on paper, but where did Planned Parenthood come from? Well, it was originally founded in 1921 as the American Birth Control League, but it actually got its start 5 years earlier when our protagonist, Margaret Sanger, the founder and eventual first president of Planned Parenthood, opened a birth control clinic in Brooklyn with Ethel Brin and Fania Mindell. See, Sanger had a background in nursing and saw firsthand both difficult pregnancies and dangerously improvised abortions. Side note here, I even today get a little squeamish at the thought of pregnancies and modern birthing techniques, so I can't imagine what procedures must have looked like back in the early 20th century. It's times like this, I'm thankful to the pioneers of modern medicine. But I digress. Back to Margaret Sanger. She opened the first birth control clinic in Brooklyn and saw instant success. On the first day of business, 100 women and 20 men lined up to seek birth control. But within a week, the NYPD shut down the clinic and arrested all three women on obscenity charges, seeing as birth control was strictly forbidden from being discussed in public. Wah, wah. Again, this is one of those moments where I can't imagine living in a time where I couldn't talk about birth control. Heck, I'm not even sure if I would have anything to talk about with my girlfriends. We're constantly debating the best forms of BC, between the pill, an IUD, or the bar in the arm. Despite all this initial pushback from the authorities, Sanger persisted. She made her case for contraceptive health through publishing a magazine, founding the American Birth Control League, and defending the right for women to have the choice of pregnancy through the use of contraceptives. Although Sanger was a badass for promoting these things, she was a product of her era and held positive views of eugenics, which, according to Google, is the study of how to arrange reproduction within a human population to increase the occurrence of heritable characteristics regarded as desirable. The Nazis were a big proponent of this, with the idea of a pure Aryan race, which was, by their definition, white-skinned, blonde-haired, and blue-eyed. The affiliation with Nazi ideologies is something that Republicans nowadays point to as another strike against Planned Parenthood, which doesn't make sense to me, because isn't that a plus for Republicans? By today's standards, Sanger's views are wildly offensive. But then again, just rewatch any choice episode of Friends, and you'll be equally as shocked. In 1940, some truly repressed people decided that the name American Birth Control Center was, quote, against families. So Sanger and her team chose the name we call it today, Planned Parenthood. Although the name changed, the core values remained. Sanger put it this way: a woman's body belongs to herself alone. It is her body. It does not belong to the church. It does not belong to the United States of America or to any other government on the face of the earth. The first step toward getting life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for any woman is her decision whether or not she shall become a mother. Enforced motherhood is the most complete denial of a woman's right to life and liberty. Again, we're aware that Sanger was kind of a Nazi sympathizer, but she did great things for women's reproductive rights. Hearing that statement out loud, I kind of get the argument for Trump now. Also, JK, we know she wasn't an actual Nazi sympathizer. We understand that was a product of a smear campaign against her, but we really wanted to use that Trump joke, so just roll with it, okay? After Sanger's retirement, Alan Frank Guttmacher served as the organization's president from 1960 to 1974, during which he oversaw the development of the modern birth control pill, which, by the way, Planned Parenthood helped fund research for. Guttmacher also worked for the inclusion of family planning into government budgets with the implementation of Title X, and advocated for the decriminalization of abortion. Planned Parenthood also played a key role in Roe v. Wade, which was the 1973 Supreme Court case that overturned laws preventing abortions. If that case hasn't been on your mind recently, I'd love to move to the rock you're living under. To find out more about what Planned Parenthood does today, stay tuned for my interview with West Virginia field organizers Emily Wommeldorf and Ixia Vega. Now, the thing is, it seems that Planned Parenthood is demonized over one service in particular, and that is abortion. Let's face it, you already know if you support abortion or if you don't. But here's the thing. The crowd that is anti-abortion is so anti-abortion that they continue to actively campaign to defund Planned Parenthood. It is the phrase that Black Lives Matter adopted when referring to their calls for police reform. You know, defund the police. Of course, in the case of Planned Parenthood, defund Planned Parenthood actually means defund, as they wish to cut off all federal funding to the health service provider. Whereas defund the police means to cut away excess funding used for militarizing police and reallocating those funds to social programs that would directly help the burden that police deal with. Slightly different, but of course, nothing about political rhetoric is ever nuanced. Ugh. I feel like my fear of becoming numb to the dysfunction of our political system is starting to actually happen. Or maybe it's just depression. Or maybe I'm feeling depressed because I'm becoming numb to the dysfunction of our political system. I guess we should see if Planned Parenthood can offer anything to help me through these difficult times. Let's start by looking at Planned Parenthood's other services. Hold on, Claire. Planned Parenthood offers things other than abortions? Yes, that's correct. Republicans would have you believe that Planned Parenthood is an abortion factory. Mike Pence has been quoted as saying, "I would assume that most Americans would be surprised, if not shocked, to learn that the largest abortion provider in America is also the largest recipient of federal funding under Title X. former Senator John Kyle also stated that if you want an abortion, you go to Planned Parenthood. And that was well over 90% of what Planned Parenthood does. This is misleading. And in the case of the second quote, straight up wrong. What Mike Pence said ignores the fact that the organization is barred by law to use federal funding for abortions and has been barred since the inception of legal abortion. And for the other quote, as of 2017, only 3% of services performed by Planned Parenthood were abortions. Only 3%? I don't mean to sound like an infomercial, but tell me more! How else is Planned Parenthood broken up? Well, about 45% is dedicated to STD and STI testing and treatment, 30% contraceptives, 7% cancer screenings, and 14% being other women's health services. And while 30% of their services are dedicated to contraceptives, their primary focus is actually geared more towards sex education and preventative measures. Because despite what people like Mike Pence say, abstinence doesn't really cut it. Just a side note, I always thought the idea of abstinence was stupid, especially when pandering to the teenage demographic. Like, think about it. None of my friends were talking about how excited they were to not have sex. My hormones weren't reasoning with my brain like, you know what? Your parents are right. I'm cool with waiting. Waiting hasn't been cool since the shallow end of the kiddie pool. And just to solidify how uncool it was, we used a pun to make our point. Plus, when there is an expectation of something controlling like abstinence hovering over a teenager's head, they're going to just rely on their favorite tactic. Lying. No, Mom, I'm not having sex. No, you didn't just find a condom wrapper in my room. That was the packaging for a temporary tattoo. It gets even more ridiculous when you apply the idea to adults, who already disregard what other people say they should or shouldn't do. Yes. Abstinence is the best way to avoid pregnancy and diseases. But unless you're an extremely devout religious fanatic, it's probably not your default position. This is perhaps why it is important to be aware of the preventative measures to protect yourself when sex inevitably happens. Actually, thinking about it, abstinence is a great metaphor for the whole COVID situation. The best way to stop the spread of the virus is just to stay home. And if you're not going to stay home, then it's important to wear a mask. Or in this case, breathing contraceptive. When you think about it, the arguments against masks are exactly the same for condoms.
I don't like the way it feels. And you know I have this condition.
COVID has basically become a walking litmus test to tell who probably wouldn't wear a condom. Just something to think about. So, what is so important about Planned Parenthood? Well, like we said at the top of the episode, they are the single largest provider of reproductive healthcare services in the entire United States. Yeah! Since one of Planned Parenthood's main goals is to provide healthcare in underserved areas, these clinics are usually the only healthcare option for portions of the population. You can check out their website for all the statistics. And for the argument that Planned Parenthood is terrible and that all abortions are bad, just think about this. With more awareness around sexual education and more access to free birth control for both women and men, the number of unwanted pregnancies and abortions would go down. Look, I'm not here to argue the morality of an abortion. That is up to you to decide. But think of it this way. More complex sexual education means less STDs, means less unwanted pregnancies, means less abortions. To hear more about the work Planned Parenthood is doing today, in the clinics and beyond, stay tuned for my interview with West Virginia field organizers Emily Wammeldorf and Ixia Vega. All right, so for today's interview of Sit Still, Look Opinionated, we have Ixia Vega and Emily Wammeldorf. They both work for Planned Parenthood, and we are so happy to have them on the show. Thanks for being here, you both.
Yay, thanks for having us.
Of course, of course. So before we get started, could you all introduce yourselves a little bit and talk about what you do with Planned Parenthood?
So I am the West Virginia field organizer for Planned Parenthood South Atlantic, and that's an affiliate with Planned Parenthood. I basically try to engage our volunteers in the state of West Virginia to take action and make change. So a lot of like what I do is just contacting folks and letting them know about how they can participate politically and around our affiliate. We have like events and stuff. So that's basically how I try to get folks engaged.
Awesome. What about you, Emily?
I am the constituency engagement specialist in West Virginia, which really means that I help form connections and expand our footprint across the state through like traditional and kind of non-traditional partnership spaces and working on like special projects in sometimes with these partnerships, sometimes like under just Planned Parenthood, and doing a lot of like managing of these relationships that we have and trying to expand our reach as much as we can.
Amazing. Well, we're so happy to have you both on the show. So how did you both get started with Planned Parenthood?
I actually got started as a student. I went to West Virginia University, and there was the starting of a Planned Parenthood Generation Action Group, which is the campus groups. So I got involved in that, and then slowly I got connected with Emily, who was the field organizer at the time, and eventually I ended up being her intern. So it kind of just blossomed from there, but I really just wanted to get involved, especially after the election and stuff and the attacks that I was seeing with reproductive rights. So that was just a really great way for me to get involved, and it kind of just blossomed from there.
That's amazing.
Like a similar origin story as Ixia. Planned Parenthood loves to like promote within our affiliate this. So we have a similar growth story. Trump was elected my senior year of college, and so it kind of like completely derailed my original plans post-graduation, and I was like frantically searching for a way to help and like make West Virginia better or like protect her in like some little way. And the field organizer with Planned Parenthood in West Virginia at the time came to Shepherd University where I was at school and was on a panel, and I talked to her afterwards and I was like, oh my gosh, like I want to do stuff, let me get involved. And so I helped them kind of get a student chapter at Shepherd University started, but I was like graduating, so I was like, here you go, do it, bye. And then I graduated and moved back to where I originally am from in West Virginia, and kind of just followed the folks from Planned Parenthood around until they finally decided to like give in and give me an internship. And then I did that for a while and then eventually became the field organizer and then recently became this constituency engagement specialist.
Those are both amazing stories. I love how organic they are. That's amazing.
So we just kind of like flowed and just together.
It worked well.
That's great. So do you all interact with a lot of, well, maybe before COVID, but a lot of people that maybe might not know what Planned Parenthood is or have like a preconceived notion of what it is?
I think personally, from my experience, it's been a lot of like preconceived notions of what Planned Parenthood is. And it's a lot of kind of talking and being real about like what our definition of what Planned Parenthood is and the great things that we do. So it's been interesting, but that's basically been my experience. A lot of pre-notions, but there are a couple of folks like from my community in my hometown. Like my parents aren't from America, they're from Guatemala, Mexico. So like when I told them I was doing all this stuff with Planned Parenthood, so I did a whole slideshow and presentation in Spanish of what Planned Parenthood is and like the work that we do and stuff. So been some educating.
I think a lot of times we tend to get into the habit of existing in like progressive silos, and so like everybody kind of already knows what Planned Parenthood is, but I've definitely run into people who like don't understand that I'm not a medical provider or that I don't work at a clinic. So sometimes explaining like that we have an advocacy arm and we work in politics and we do stuff in the community and that it's not just about the clinics, although that's like, you know, our North Star is our clinic and our patients and the reason we do it all, but it's a lot more than just the clinics. And so helping them understand that like, no, I don't work for a clinic. No, there's not a clinic in our town. Like I, you know, so that the kind of like, I guess, intricacies of the way that our organization works sometimes needs a little like coaching for people. But at this point, Planned Parenthood is like such a national target that most people at least have heard about it before.
Yeah. And if you were to describe what Planned Parenthood is to someone who maybe wasn't from America or like had an idea in their head, how would you describe it?
Well, how would you describe it to your parents?
Yeah.
So the way that I describe it to my parents is that Planned Parenthood is a healthcare and reproductive rights organization that focuses on allowing folks to have accessible reproductive rights and healthcare. So I guess it kind of goes into like two parts. Like there's the healthcare part where we provide accessible and affordable healthcare to folks and reproductive education and sexual health education. But then there's also the part where we're advocating for reproductive rights and making sure that our officials are held accountable for it. So that's kind of how I was, like the two split parts, yeah. But basically all fighting for reproductive rights and for reproductive healthcare.
Yeah, I would say about the same. There's like two arms, right? It's like the healthcare and the health centers, and then there's the advocacy arm that protects the healthcare and the health centers, you know?
I feel like even myself included, when I think of Planned Parenthood, I don't necessarily think of that advocacy part of it. And I guess that's a really important part because you can have the clinics, but if they're, you know, being obstructed, then they're not doing what they're supposed to do and meant to do. So in terms of, like Emily, that you were saying there's not a Planned Parenthood in your town, what sort of things can people do or receive if maybe there isn't a clinic in their area or they don't really know where to start when looking into Planned Parenthood?
I mean, Planned Parenthood provides a lot of resources. Like, so if there isn't a clinic in like your local area, there's a ton of online resources to help folks out in terms of like educational pieces and like helping you find the nearest clinic or helping you find the kind of care that you need that is closest to you. So in terms of like looking for the healthcare, and then I think like if there's people like me and Ixia in your community that work for Planned Parenthood, and they will have a knowledge of like those healthcare, like where to access it. And so I think like reaching out to those folks and saying, like, I can't tell you the amount of people that have reached out to me and said, hey, I have a friend that needs this, or hey, I need this, or like, hey, you work for Planned Parenthood, right? Can you help me figure this out? And, you know, again, having to always give the disclaimer, I'm not a medical provider, but you should talk to your doctor. And these are the places you can go to get, you know, free STI testing, or these are the places you can go to use Title X funding to get free birth control. And so I think it's a, if you don't have a physical clinic in your community, it is still a wealth of resources to help you figure out where to go to get the care that you need. Yeah, and I mean, then getting involved politically is like a whole nother conversation.
Yeah, but yeah. And I'm about to, you know, dive into that.
Yeah.
I don't have to explain to you too that Planned Parenthood obviously has a lot of, has some sort of reputation and it makes people feel some sort of way. How do you all in your either professional lives or maybe even in your personal lives kind of approach those or meet people where they are possibly?
I think something that I keep on the back of my mind a lot is that I'm not going to stigmatize my work.
Mm-hmm.
So in my personal life and in my professional life, there have been times where sometimes like I'm trying to educate someone on like what we do and exactly what we do, but sometimes again it's not something that's going to change anybody's mind.
Yeah,
but I always work to not stigmatize my work and be open about it and to talk about abortion access and stuff like that and use the quote-unquote tough words, I guess.
Yeah, and what are some of those tough words that like trigger people?
Some people using the word abortion and use kind of this like pro-life, pro-choice narrative, but the way that I see is that pro-abortion or you're not. A lot of people are, I guess, feel uncomfortable using abortion because there's all this stigma behind the word abortion. So for me, I always try to say abortion or I'm pro-abortion or something like that to make sure that I'm destigmatizing the word.
Mm-hmm. I also think like you gotta recognize like
where people are at, and you have to recognize like when it's just like not worth your energy to give to people. Like there are absolutely people that you can have conversations with and like kind of find some middle ground with folks and get an come to an understanding, but there's also like definitely folks that are just like never going to be on your side, and they're never going to support what you do, no matter how much you tell them, like, listen to all of the great things that Planned Parenthood has done, listen to all of these stories from people who've been patients, and they don't care. And so just recognizing that like that those people are not necessarily like worth the energy, and they're not who we're, you know, who we're targeting anyway. But I will say, like, you know, we both work in West Virginia, and, you know, West Virginia gets a lot of hate. Personally, it hurts my heart because it's my home state. I've been here forever. But, you know, you'd be shocked at how many people support Planned Parenthood. I think that, like, the far, like, most extreme part of the anti-choice movement has made it out to be, like, everybody hates Planned Parenthood, and we're kind of this, like, abortion boogeyman. But, like, the reality is, like, when you talk to the, you know, your regular person and you're a regular West Virginian, like, if I tell them I work for Planned Parenthood, they're like, oh, that's cool. Like, oh yeah, my sister went to Planned Parenthood when she was in high school. Or my wife went to Planned Parenthood when she was in college to get free birth control. Or, you know, like, a lot of people have a story or, like, a, like, positive association with Planned Parenthood that, like, used to throw me off a lot when I first started working for Planned Parenthood.
I'm like, oh, you like us?
I would enter into spaces like assuming that I'm ready to fight. I'm like, all right, these people are gonna hate me, like, I'm ready to go. And like, it's actually not, it's not often like that. Most people can at least recognize the good that we do, and the services that we provide, making such a positive impact on their community, even if they don't happen to like one of the services that we provide. But we proudly provide a full range of reproductive health care, and it is what it is.
A lot of people also recognize the fact that a one size fits all decision isn't practical, and they understand that everyone has an independent choice to make. And I think that's the thing a lot, especially like around here, where you're like, don't basically tell me what to do with my body.
West Virginians have a long history of wanting people to stay out of their business. And so I think like that transfers a lot into the abortion conversation. Like even with like my grandparents, who are like, you know, you would expect to be very conservative people, they still kind of believe like, oh, that's not my business. And like the most conservative people that I know in my life typically still believe that that is a decision between somebody and their doctor. And so it's not always as hard as like I think the really extreme anti-choice movement wants to make it out to be.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting you say that, because it's kind of like giving people a little bit of a chance to, and that's not always true. There are some people out there that, you know, no matter what, they won't be able to listen. But that is really important that you can recognize that. So you had mentioned that Planned Parenthood is more than just a clinic, that you have some field organizing and political activity. Could you kind of talk about that a little bit from your all's experience?
Yeah. So in West Virginia, like obviously, you know, when it comes down to like federal fight for, you know, Supreme Court, or you see like bad abortion bills advance, we participate in things on a federal scale, but we also do a lot of work on the state level. West Virginia has had some form of an abortion restriction like bill since I think every year since like 2014.
Oh, wow.
So we always are, you know, doing defensive work when it comes to that, but we also do proactive work and we introduce proactive legislation. We've had several bills over the last couple of years regarding menstrual equity. So we've had a bill that would, if it had passed, which it didn't, it would have put free period products in schools for grades 5 through 12. And we had another one that would have put free period products in jails and prisons. And we had another one that would have removed the sales tax from period products in the state. Unfortunately, none of them made it all the way through or passed, but we're going to continue to do that. But, you know, I mean, we do a lot, we do like lobbying and we do work on that, but we also do engaging things on the ground. So like, specifically with the menstrual equity work, we've done like period product drives and donated products to like local pantries and schools and shelters. We've done education about menstrual equity and mobilizing our supporters around these issues. We've also worked in coalition with other partners on like better access to birth control, paid family medical leave, maternal health care, like things of that nature. So I think it's a pretty like big spectrum of stuff that happens in West Virginia, actually. I mean, obviously we've got a state legislature that is not super friendly to abortion, but I think it goes a little bit deeper than just that.
I completely agree. I think that although like everything else that we do, I think is really great, I think it's also like important to think about like the proactive work that we do with like the resources that we have as Planned Parenthood and how to uplift the community, because I think that's what's really important to us, is to make sure that the people of West Virginia are getting what they deserve and what they should have. So we try to work really proactively to make sure that it's accessible for everyone in the state, especially because the state is so big and it's broad and it's a little hard to like get information and stuff around, but the more that we try really hard.
Also only like four of us that work for Planned Parenthood in the state of West Virginia.
So, really?
Yeah, and we cover the whole state, like each of us, we work statewide. So West Virginia, when you look on a map, looks very small, but let me just tell you that geography is not in your favor when you're here, and it takes like, you know, 5.5-6 hours to get from one end of the state to the other. So, you know, lots of mountains and stuff in the way. So yeah, I mean, it's not a small undertaking to have statewide coverage. Yeah.
That's so true. Yeah, West Virginia is a huge state, and I don't think people realize that. So
they need some respect on Virginia.
Yeah.
Like I'm originally, like I live like 10 minutes away from O'Hare. But
oh, no,
like, so when I came here, I was like, why doesn't anyone like talk about West Virginia? It's so great. And then when I go home, they're like, how's Virginia? And I'm like, it's West Virginia. No, yeah, the west side of Virginia. And I'm like, no, it's its own state.
And my favorite is, I have family in Richmond. I'm like, I mean, we've only been a state for 150 plus years, but yeah, whatever, guys.
That's and like, so funny.
West Virginia gets like negative attention brought to it a lot of the times. And I think that's also what's so frustrating, because like we're doing all this like stuff that isn't getting national attention, and like, I think we're really making some change and some progress, and it's so disheartening to see like how the state is represented in like national media and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I've lived here my whole life, and I passionately love West Virginia, and I just really wish people could like I wish people could meet the people of West Virginia, and I wish you could see like the beauty of West Virginia. I mean, the only time we get a national platform is for like poverty porn, basically, to be like, look how sad and bad it is, and look how many people are addicted to opioids in West Virginia. But you never see the beauty of like the people and the hospitality and the friendship and loving your neighbors and caring for your community. That and the really cool thing about like doing this kind of work in West Virginia that I don't think that you get as much in like a, you know, maybe a bigger city or a more liberal place, is that like you can actually see the impact of the work that you're doing. Like I've been with Planned Parenthood for about 3 years now, and like I have with my own eyes seen the impact that we're making, and it's just like, it's so rewarding and so fulfilling. Like you get a little addicted to it and you want to just keep doing it. But yeah, I mean, it does like bum me out that we have such a bad rep. And like, you know, if I travel somewhere for work or whatever, and I talk to people in there, they ask me where I'm from, and I work for Planned Parenthood, I'm from West Virginia. Oh my gosh, that must be so hard. That must be awful. I'm like, well, first of all, I wouldn't do it if it was awful, but like, second of all, like, yeah, it's hard, but it's so worth it. And yeah. I just wish that people could see how beautiful this place is.
Yeah.
Claire, I think, like, I don't know how long you've been in the city, but like, I think you can say, like, you stare at somebody too long, they're going to be like, what's up? You're trying to fight. But yeah, like, in West Virginia, like, people will take the shirt right off their back to give it to you. And I think that's such a beautiful thing. It's really hard for me to go back home and, like, have everyone mean mugging me. And I'm just like, oh my God, I need to go back to the nice place.
That's very true. I lived in Shepherd in Shepherdstown. In the dorms, and then yeah, I moved to Chicago right after, and I was like, oh, this is a completely different place. I'd also never been to Chicago before I moved here, but that's a different story.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I got my map right back there. So you've been talking about all of the health programs that are offered at Planned Parenthood. Is Planned Parenthood only for women, or is it open to other people as well?
Everybody, anybody who wants to take care of their sexual health is welcome at Planned Parenthood. In fact, reproductive health care is important for everyone, regardless of your gender identity. So yeah, I mean, anybody is welcome to come to Planned Parenthood and utilize the services they provide there. They provide services for women, men, non-binary folks, and everybody under the gender spectrum, and proudly does it.
Planned Parenthood impacts more than just women. Planned Parenthood impacts millions of people, like men, non-binary folks, like everybody. So
we're not into cis women gatekeeping reproductive health care issues. And so we really want to make sure that folks know that this is an issue that impacts everybody.
Mm-hmm. That is really important. And because we all are people, and we all are mostly able to reproduce. So that's important to make sure that everyone has proper health care to it.
And like also taking care of your sexual health is so much more than just about whether or not you're getting pregnant. You know, there's so many things that go into it.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but that seems to be pretty stigmatized too, just having awareness around sexual health as well.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of shame in it. You know, I mean, I think we have for a long time had this narrative that like STIs and you know, any kind of like sexual health treatment or whatever is like bad or dirty or whatever makes you it impacts your character somehow, which is just, you know, preposterous. Like, taking care of your sexual health is good, it's responsible, and it's important. And also STIs and STDs like don't change who you are as a person. So that's also okay. It happens to quite literally almost everybody. And it's normal and fine. And, you know, as long as we're being responsible about our sexual health and being honest with our partners, I think, like, there definitely should be the stigma that's there.
And that's why I like Planned Parenthood. Like, what drew me to Planned Parenthood a lot is the honesty about it. Like, there's Get Yourself Tested Month. That's, like, national and stuff. So we do some stuff with, like, Get Yourself Tested Month, but it's being normalized. Like, go get yourself tested. It's not that big of a thing. Like, just make sure that you're okay. And it's not this like gross, like bad thing. Like, it's normal and you should be getting yourself tested.
Like the anonymous conversations with your sexual partners about, like, you know, like, let's go get tested together. Like, consent and like conversations is sexy. And like, there's a lot of resources that like the national office has put together about like how to have conversations with your partners about getting tested, how to have a conversation with them if you find out you have some sort of sexually transmitted disease or infection, and so on. And so I think like helping people have healthy conversations about these things helps people have healthy ideas about these things and have less stigma around the idea of taking care of their sexual health.
Mm-hmm. If some of our listeners wanted to learn more about Planned Parenthood or get involved, are there any resources that we can direct them to?
Yeah, they can obviously just check out like Planned Parenthood's website. You could probably just like Google Planned Parenthood, but I know, so we work for a specific affiliate, so obviously gonna plug our affiliate. And to make that clear, because it's confusing to people, there's a national office, which is like the federal level, like oversees a lot of stuff. And then there's affiliates that are like united under the Planned Parenthood umbrella, but operate somewhat separately from the national office. And so we're part of a 4-state affiliate that's called Planned Parenthood South Atlantic. And it's West Virginia, part of Virginia, North Carolina, and South Carolina. And so if folks want to check out our affiliate and what's going on in West Virginia and those other states, they can go to PlannedParenthoodSouthAtlantic.org. And there's lots of information about there. The National Office's website is probably like ppfa.org or something of that iteration. If I'm being really honest, I'm not exactly sure about the URL, but
we'll put it in the show notes.
Also, like, follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram. There's probably several different Twitter accounts, and I personally think they're great. There's like one for our affiliate, like for West Virginia, but there's also like a national Twitter account. And then there's one for like Generation Action. And they post like young people, cool stuff on there. And I mean, I think especially right now in a space where we are operating very digitally because of COVID, plugging into what's going on online is probably like the best way to start getting involved and learning about what we're doing, because everything is online right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Folks are able to find their affiliate for their state too through like the Planned Parenthood website and stuff like that. So if obviously like not everyone's like around us, but like follow us anyways. but they're able to find their affiliate on there. And from what I remember, you can like click on the affiliate and there's an option to even become a member, so you can get like exclusive information or invites to special events because you're a Planned Parenthood member. But it's just a better way to kind of keep connected and be in the loop and make sure you know what's going on in your state or your affiliate state and stuff like that.
Probably easier to do in a place like West Virginia than in like a big city or something. But like, if you can find your local organizer, like find your local ICSEA, because those are going to be the people that know what's going on the ground, that are going to be able to plug you into other things going on in the community, and just have a general knowledge of like what folks can do to get involved and learn more about what's happening locally. Because although we plug national, I also think it's really important for folks to understand like what the state of reproductive health care and rights is on a local level for them.
That's so true. Local politics, I feel, sometimes get swept to the wayside, but
they don't get the love they deserve.
I totally agree with you. I listen to Chicago's local radio station all the time, and I'm like, what? This is happening in my city?
B96? I'm just kidding.
Ixia, Emily, this has been such a lovely interview. Thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you.
Of course. Bye. Today's show. Thanks for listening. If you have any questions or comments about today's episode, you can email us at sitstilllookopinionated@gmail.com. And make sure to follow us on Instagram at @sitstill_lookopinionated and on Twitter at @sitstillpodcast. And make sure to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. This podcast was produced by Michael Dritto and written by myself, Claire Malky, and Michael Dritto. Theme music by Terrence Jackson. Transition music by Christina Walter. Research by Ross Black. And of course, I'm your host, Claire Malky. See you next week. Bye.